good to see such a big crowd. I'm not going to say very much, but I'm just going to more or less informally chair the small proceedings here this evening. As you know why we're all here, this is a very historical building here in the history of Dublin and the history of our fight for independence. And it's under severe threat now from the developers that have maybe knocked down to make way for a big new shopping development hotel, a shopping mall hotel development. But there's a great response to the campaign to have it saved. We have a couple of people here this evening to address the gathering before we go to City Hall, where it will be discussed at tonight's City Council meeting. First of all, I'd also like to acknowledge the presence of some fellow councillors, Nicky Kyo, Desi Ellis, Christy Burke and Chris Andrews. And if I spot any more as the proceedings go on, I'll acknowledge them also. But thank you all for... And Tomás McGill, of course, is here, ex-Dublin City Councillor. Thank you very much. And also, we'll be as brief as possible, but first of all, I think Micheál MacDonagh is going to give us a little history of the house. Thank you.
For Margaret. Just to put this, where we are, in context, if you go back to the Friday of Easter week 1916, the 28th of April, in the afternoon of Friday, the 28th of April, the British had been bombarding the city centre for many hours. And in the late afternoon, the incendiary shells found their main target, which of course was the GPO. And the fire became uncontrollable, and it was decided that the volunteers would have to evacuate the GPO. And Pierce gave the order that it would have to be evacuated. The plan was to break into the houses and the shops here in Moore Street, to tunnel through the houses to the top of Moore Street and to make their way into a factory on Parnell Street called Williams and Woods. And the idea was that they would either make their last stand there or possibly even try to break out of the city to join the volunteers in Fingal or in County Meath. There was a British barricade at the top of the street, the corner of Parnell Street and Moore Street, and that was manned by the Sherwood Foresters Regiment. At the bottom of the street, at the GPO end, the volunteers pulled across a barricade and made their way into Moore Street. Now, the first contingent was led by Micheál O'Rahilly, the O'Rahilly, and they decided that they would try to charge the British barricade at the top of the street. And a number of them made their way along the street on the outside of the houses. They took shelter, took cover in doorways, and made their way to the top. When they got to what is now O'Rahilly Parade, it was then Sackville Lane, O'Rahilly blew his whistle and they charged the barricade. They were cut down. O'Rahilly was fatally wounded, and a number of other volunteers were killed. They were the O'Rahilly, Micheál O'Rahilly, Henry Coyle, Francis Mackin, Michael Mulvihill, and Patrick Shortis. Those five volunteers were killed here on Moore Street or in the lanes off Moore Street. Later then, the volunteers did evacuate the GPO. They made their way into the houses and they tunnelled all the way up the street till they came to number 16 here. When they came to number 16, there was rubble in the adjoining house, so they were unable to tunnel any further. And they spent the night of the 28th and 29th of April, the Friday and Saturday of Easter week, here in this house. They then met on the Saturday morning. The members of the provisional government present were Pádraig McPhearish, James Connolly, Tom Clark, Sean McDermott and Joseph Plunkett. And they met on the Saturday morning and they decided that they would have to seek negotiations with the British commander. So they made that decision. There had been some debate on it. Some of the leaders, it is said, Tom Clark among them, wanted to fight to the finish. But they decided that they would seek terms. And Pierce recorded the decision. And the actual document on which he recorded still exists. It's in the National Library. And I have reproduced it here on a leaflet. I have a limited number which I can give to people at the end. What they said was, believing that the glorious stand which has been made by the soldiers of Irish freedom during the last 5 days in Dublin has been sufficient to gain recognition of Ireland's national claim at an international peace conference, and desirous of preventing further slaughter of the civilian population and to save the lives of as many as possible of our followers, the members of the provisional government here present have agreed by a majority to open negotiations with the British commander. Signed, P.H. Pearce, Commandant General, Commanding in Chief, Army of the Irish Republic. Now, an account was published in 96 by a volunteer called Joe Good. His reminiscences, I think they were published posthumously. And he said one of the deciding factors in the decision to surrender was the fact that they witnessed from 16 Moore Street a number of civilians attempting to evacuate from a house on this side, now of course demolished to make way for the ILAC Centre. But the house on this side, civilians attempted to evacuate. They were told by the British at the top of the street to come forward, but when they did so, they were cut down by machine gun fire. So the main motivation, as they said in their minute, of the Republicans in surrendering was to save the lives of the civilian population. The evacuation then proceeded. Pearce sent Elizabeth O'Farrell, Nurse Elizabeth O'Farrell, into Parnell Street, where she met the British commander in this area, Brigadier General Lowe. He said that they wouldn't discuss terms, they wanted an unconditional surrender. So she returned here, and Pearce then proceeded with Elizabeth O'Farrell to the corner of Parnell Street and Moore Street, where he surrendered to Brigadier General Lowe. He handed him his sword, and then Pearce was taken into captivity. The volunteers then left the 16 Moore Street here. Connolly was carried out on a stretcher. He was fatally wounded at that stage, and he was taken away to Dublin Castle. The other leaders were taken to different barracks around the city. And one of the sad things about what happened when they left, as they passed by Sackville Lane, now O'Rahilly Parade, they saw the body of the O'Rahilly still lying in that lane. Now, it's said that he was actually still alive, and that it took him a day or even more to die. He was left unattended in the street there. And that's basically the story of 16 Moore Street. I think it's very important that people are here to save this very historic building. And, you know, what are we going to see in its place? Another palace to consumerism. I think it'd be much more important that we have a cultural monument to the people who gave their lives in 1916.
Thank you all for that very informative contribution to the proceedings. And it begs the question, in what other country in the world would it even be thought of to knock down such a historic building as this one here, number 60 in Moore Street? What other country in the world? We have with us also Damien Cassidy, who has been very much at the forefront in this campaign, and also a member of the National Graves Association. Damien, I don't know if you want to introduce someone or say a few words.
Thanks, Larry. First of all, I'd like to thank Larry, because he was the one who whose idea it was to have this meeting here today and to have this march, or walk rather, down to City Hall. And that's why we are all assembled here today. And I'd like to thank all the local people around here, the stallholders, who have made their livelihood here for years and years. And I hope that what they're planning to do here is not going to interfere with their livelihood in the same way as we see on this side of the street. The second item I would like to say is that we have a self-effacing grandson of James Connolly here. He never comes forward, and I'd like him to come up here and stand beside me, because I feel like a right idiot talking with James Connolly's grandson standing. Sean is totally non-political, but nevertheless, we want him here, and that's why he's agreed to come along. I just want to say to you all that when Kilmainham jail was closed down for 40 years, the excuse was that there was no money available to save it, and there were all sorts of proposals that it be knocked down and turned into a housing estate, etc., etc., etc. We have here behind us exactly the same type of proposal about to take place, unless we can do something about it. Your presence here today is an indication that the people of Dublin are going to cry stop. stop to taking over the city, stop to turning us into a load of office blocks and commercial concerns which do not take any account of the historic and cultural background, not only of the fight for independence, but also our great writers, you know, Joyce and all the rest of them. Buildings being knocked down, people know nothing about them. And we're calling not only for the saving of this building behind me here, but we're calling, and you'll be glad to know that we have the support of the Lord Mayor in this, for the listing of all important buildings, not only in Dublin, but right throughout our country, so that they are not going to be knocked down and then we're told about it afterwards. So thanks again for coming, and we're all going to, if you don't mind, walk down to City Hall, where we're handing in a motion to preserve this building behind us here, and if you wouldn't mind following Larry, he'll do the leading.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Tom. We have one more piece before we go. I'd also like to acknowledge the presence of Angus O'Snoddy, TD. Tomás, did you want to make a contribution there?
Yes.
And then we have two more pieces.
Nurse Elizabeth O'Farrell wrote a very detailed description of what happened in the GPO from Thursday until Saturday. And I'll read just one page, a couple of minutes here, of the description of the coming out here. On Thursday afternoon became evident that the GPO could not much longer hold out. The members of Cumann na mBan, with three exceptions, left by Cumann and Pearce's orders. The three who remained were Winifred Kearney, Julia Grennan, and myself, Nurse Elizabeth O'Farrell. About 8 o'clock on Friday evening, April 28, 1916, the building being entirely in flames, we retreated from there under very heavy fire, the intention, as I understood, being to cut our way through at some point and join up with Commandant Daly at the forecourts. We left by a side entrance in Henry Street, crossed to Henry Place and into Moore Lane. There was a barricade erected midway in Moore Lane, and it was very dangerous passing it as the military were firing over it. We left in three sections, I being in the last. Commandant Pearce was the last to leave the building. He went round to see that no one was left behind. We immediately preceded him, bullets raining from all quarters as we rushed to Moore Lane. As I passed the barricade, I tripped and fell. In a second, some man rushed out of the house on the corner of Moore Lane and Moore Street, just up there. Grogan's was the name of the people in the house. Grogan's, where the second section had taken over. He took me up in his arms and rushed back to the house. It was Sean McGarry of Ballybock Road, since sent to penal servitude for 8 years. When I entered the parlour of the house, I found some of the members of the provisional government already there, the house well barricaded, and James Connolly, his grandson is here, and James Connolly lying on a stretcher in the middle of the room. I went over to him, asked him how he was, how he felt, and he answered bad. After a short time, the other members of the provisional government came in. Some mattresses were procured and we placed Mr. Connolly and other wounded men. There were 17 wounded in the retreat from the GPO, and I spent the night, April 28, helping to nurse them. Around us, we could hear the roar of burning buildings, machine guns played on the houses, and at intervals, what seemed to be hand grenades. Just a couple of more lines. The morning of the 29th, I spent in helping to cook for the volunteers who had worked hard through the night, burrowing from house to house up towards the top of Moore Street. The members of the provisional government were in this room for a considerable length of time, Pearce, Connolly, Plunkett, Clark and Sean McDermott. where they held a council of war. This is in the back room in 16 Moore Street. Willie Pierce was also with them. On the floor of the room lay three wounded volunteers and a soldier, a prisoner, who was badly injured, lay on a bed on the side of the room. Winifred Kearney, Julie Grennan and I came in to attend to them. The soldier asked us, would Pierce speak to him? Pierce said, certainly. The soldier then asked Pierce to lift him a little in the bed. Pierce did this, the soldier putting his arms round his neck. This was all. Pierce returned to James Connolly beside and the consultation continued in private. She then, when they decided to surrender, she left through the door of 15 Moore Street with a white flag waving it. She describes how shooting stopped. She approached the barricade and was led down from the end of Parnell Street up to Parnell Monument, where Brigadier General Lowe was waiting for her. And he brought her in, of all places, she said, into Clark's shop, where they had a cup of tea. She details everything from there for the next 24 hours. And it's a very interesting, but as was pointed out, as she was going down, she saw O'Rahilly's hat. And when she was coming back, she could see that lane there, and there she saw the O'Rahilly. With his feet were just at the corner of Moore Street, and his head was stretched in across the path. She describes all those details in this little booklet. And the man here, John Daly, where is he? With his white T-shirt, John Daly. I think it's, 18 months ago? Saw that there was plaque, there was no plaque or anything on 16 Moore Street, and he started the campaign. May gave him a copy of this North South Ireland's description. And he took it from there and has been approaching people for the past year and a half on this question. And I think it's not alone 16, but the whole of Moore Street should have been preserved, because it's just as valuable. You see pictures drawn of Pierce surrendering at the GPO. Surrender down there. Thank you.
Well done.
Okay. Could we call from the
Throughout this campaign and last Friday week, Lord Mayor of Dublin, Dermot Lacey, hosted a meeting in the Mansion House to kind of keep the campaign going to save number 16 Moore Street. And we've had cross-party support for this campaign. And Dermot, would you like to address the meeting?
Well, when I arrived here, Larry said to me what I usually say to him, keep it very short. So I am going to keep it very short. Can I thank everybody for being here today? This is a campaign that transcends all political parties. 16 Moore Street is in many ways, the bedrock or the springbok from where the Democratic Irish Republic was established. And it is, I believe, extremely important that we remember our past. Not that we live in our past, but we remember our past and we remember from where this state emerged. And I just want to say, I do believe that at the City Council meeting tonight, having done a fair amount of work on this, and I want to thank the other councillors who've also done a lot of work on this, that we will achieve a cross-party support for a motion that had been drafted, emphasising that in any redevelopment of O'Connell Street, Moore Street, involving this site, the 16 Moore Street will be preserved and will be developed as an acknowledgement or as a commemoration of what happened in 1916. That would not have happened, however, if it wasn't for a small number of citizens outside and inside the political party process that reminded us as councillors of what happened and reminded us of the importance of it. So thank you to all of them, and they are too numerous to start naming them, and I will leave people out. But I believe that arising from that campaign and tonight's meeting, that we will save forever 16 Moore Street as an important historical venue in the history of the Irish nation. Thank you for coming along, and good luck.
two more little things here before we go away. Gerard O'Leary is going to give James Connolly oration, and also this gentleman here, Robert from America. I just seen him with the guitar. I asked him would he play a tune. He said he would play The Rising of the Moon. Is that right? So that'll be a nice little treat before we head on our way to City Hall. I think we'll just finish up with that. And just before I finish, then I'd like to thank all of you for coming along here. It's great support. I know it's a bad time of the day, and in some cases, a pretty short notice. There's cross-party support for this. There's city-wide support for it, and I think in our endeavours we will be successful in stopping, I suppose, the big bad hand of development here. Because as previous speakers have said, look what happened to the west side of Moore Street. Look at this hideous kind of facade we have there, instead of these lovely red brick buildings, which I believe the whole side of the street should be saved, by the way. But anyway, we'll finish up. Chair is going to Jane Conley's party, and then Robert, you can swing in, and then we'll head off to City Hall. So go to Mila Mahagwib.
I've been asked by the committee to do a short extract from James Connolly's court-martial speech, which he made on the 9th of May. You will all know here that this is the 12th of May is the exact execution day. And I'm dying with the flu and a bad cough. We've got to fill a cup and please forgive me. The last statement of James Connolly. To the Field General Court-Martial held at Dublin Castle on May 9th, 1916, we went out to break the connection between this country and the British Empire and to establish an Irish Republic. We believe that the call we then issued to the people of Ireland was a nobler call and a holier cause than any call issued to them during this war and having any connection with this war. We succeeded in proving that Irish men are ready to die, endeavouring to win for Ireland those national rights which the British government has been asking to die to win for Belgium. As long as that remains the case, the cause of Irish freedom is safe. Believing that the British government has no right in Ireland, never had any right in Ireland, and never can have any right in Ireland, the presence in any one generation of even a respectable minority ready to die to affirm that truth makes that government forever a usurpation and a crime against human progress. I personally thank God that I have lived to see the day when thousands of Irish men and boys and hundreds of Irish women and girls were ready to affirm that truth and to attest to it with their lives if need be. Signed this day, 9th May 1916, James Connolly, Commandant General, Dublin Division, Army of the Irish Republic.